Chapter 1. "Thank you for coming," Captain Ottavio Big Score Scarandum mumbled slowly in a well-practiced monotone, reading from the prompter in front of the lectern. "I wish to make a brief statement, and I will not be taking any questions. You may address your questions to the Public Assistance Agency." He fought to keep a smile from showing as the media representatives in the conference room groaned. The Public Assistance Agency of the Ethics and Compliance Office was famous for not ever having provided any useful assistance to anyone during its long history, and certainly had no intention of assisting the public. "I must clear up several wild and unfounded rumors." He glanced up, and an excited murmur went around the room. Experienced reporters knew that unfounded was ECO code for absolutely true. "First, the Ethics and Compliance Office was not involved," he looked up briefly, "in any way whatsoever," which everyone knew was code for "we totally did it," "in the mysterious and still unexplained disappearance of vital frontline warships from the regional patrol at Mardasta. ECO has responded to the patrol's request for assistance in their investigation," he said, which everyone knew was code for "we told the patrol to go screw themselves," and the reporters gleefully chuckled to themselves. "We are determined to uncover the perpetrators of this heinous crime, and therefore we are conducting an exhaustive search," which meant senior ECO officials would be submitting wildly inflated and entirely fictional expense reports while they conducted a search for clues during a tour of luxury resorts and gambling establishments across Jarapha territory. It was unlikely, but still possible, that they would find the perpetrators, especially if they looked in a mirror. "Second, I must address the shocking and frankly ridiculous notion that when the Bosphorok suddenly and unexpectedly retreated from Funandeng, they essentially surrendered to a token force of obsolete ships that only pretended to be from the human United Nations Navy. We in the Ethics and Compliance Office cannot imagine how humiliated the Bosphorok must be when they hear these vicious rumors." Translation: we can't imagine how humiliated they feel, because we certainly would never be so freaking stupid. The ECO would, of course, be proud to have been involved in such a bold and inventive operation. Scarandum looked up at the audience as a smile flashed across his face, which the assembled reporters knew meant, "That is why I am bragging about it now. The Bosphorok have made a formal request for any information we have about the incident, and of course, we are happy to cooperate," meaning we told them to go screw themselves too. "Though the Bosphorok have long been our enemies, any development that causes the entire galaxy to question their competence would be cause for concern, and we will be addressing the issue." The reporters chuckled again, knowing that ECO staff would be addressing the issue by drinking fine vintage spirits and laughing their asses off. "Finally, let me close by stating that disseminating such rumors is deeply unhelpful, and we must strongly discourage any such actions, if you know what I mean." When he got back to his temporary office at ECO headquarters, a place he visited as infrequently as possible, Scarandum found his aide, Lieutenant Kinsta, waiting for him and staring longingly at a box on the desk. "Did you see the press conference?" "What did you think?" Scarandum asked as he sat down heavily on the couch behind the desk. "It was inspiring, sir. A masterful performance." "Kinsta," the captain glared at his aide, "if I want flattery, I can talk to myself in a mirror. Do you want the truth?" "Probably not," Scarandum conceded. He tapped the box. "What's this?"
"A token of appreciation from the mighty 98th Fleet, courtesy of Admiral Tashalo."
Scarandum grunted. "Did you look in the box?"
"I was waiting for you, sir. There is a card." Kinsta pointed an antenna at the folded piece of cardstock on top of the box. Scarandum sucked in a breath. This is a case of 40-year-old Burgos, the Fera 3 reserve stock.
No.
Kinsta snatched the note away to read, wary that his boss was screwing with him. But this time, the infamous ECO captain told the truth. 6 bottles of Fera 3? I didn't know those were available anywhere.
6 bottles must be worth...
Kinsta, there are only 5 bottles in this case.
Hey, don't look at me.
Scarandum was looking at his aide and was not happy, until he saw there was another note in the slot where the 6th bottle should be. He read it aloud. I had to sample a bottle to ensure quality control. Respectfully, Admiral Tashallow. Well, 5 bottles are nothing to sneeze at,
Sir?
Kinsta opened a drawer and got out 2 glasses.
On the subject of quality control, I should test a sample, to make sure it is safe for you to drink.
I'll join you.
Ottavio Scarandum knew his superiors would somehow learn about the case of exceptional booze and expect to get a cut. He grudgingly set aside 2 bottles as a sacrifice to the gods of bureaucracy, tucked away another 2 in his desk, and opened the 5th.
Kinsta, let us offer a toast to the Bosphorak.
To them? Why?
Because.
He took a first sip and rolled his eyes with pleasure.
If our enemies were not so gullible, we would not be enjoying this fine libation. We should savor this moment.
Why?
Because our fame and the current gratitude of our leadership is not destined to last. The attention of the public, of peoples all across the galaxy, will soon be drawn to another subject. You heard the rumor that part of the wormhole network recently became unstable?
Yes, but...
Kinsta paused, the glass halfway to his mouth. Carefully, he took a sip while he considered how to answer.
The network in those areas has returned to normal operation, and according to Home Fleet Intelligence, the anomaly only covered a relatively small area of the galaxy. It could be a prelude to a shift, but a temporary glitch is not a...
What if I told you it was not merely a glitch?
Then, well...
He took another delicious sip to savor.
Like I said, it could be a sign of another impending shift. We do not understand the operation of...
No, Kinsta. I meant it was not any sort of glitch. The incident was not a normal operation of the network.
Sir?
Rumor has it, humans deliberately crashed the network in that area.
Kinsta choked on the fine vintage Burgos and went into a coughing fit. When he recovered, he set the glass on the desk to be safe.
Sir, sometimes I do not understand your sense of humor, so
this is not a joke, Kinsta. Home Fleet is terrified by the implications because our esteemed patrons are very much terrified about it. I have it on very good authority that the Rindaloo have strongly suggested we pull back to defensive positions and consolidate our forces.
Why would... Assuming the rumor is true, did the Rindaloo say why humans crashed the network?
Apparently it was a demonstration. If the senior species do not leave the humans alone and cooperate to remove the cloud that threatens Earth, strategic portions of the network could be switched off. More or less permanently.
Oh, my.
Kinsta reached for his glass, then cradled it in 2 shaky claws to gulp down the incredibly expensive liquid. Scarandum poured his aide another drink.
I notice you did not ask how the humans crashed the network.
Sir, I have learned that with those annoyingly clever creatures, anything is possible. There is no point asking how they do things.
Scarandum contemplated the Burgos in his own glass before taking a large sip.
You make an excellent point.
This information is confirmed?
It is what our patrons told us. I cannot imagine any reason why they would lie about something that makes them look weak.
Kinsta, this changes everything, you understand.
I think you are wrong about that, sir.
Scarandum assumed the fine drink had loosened his aide's tongue.
Really?
How?
The rules of the game may change, but the game will continue.
Ah,
the ECO captain was chagrined, accepting that he was wrong.
You are, of course, correct.
Kinsta, I foresee a bright future for you.
If any of us have a future. The humans are dangerous to all of us. If they are not careful, they could get everyone killed. So far, I have seen no sign they are anything but reckless.
Then it is all the more important that we establish an alliance with them to guide their primitive society. But that is a matter for our leadership to worry about.
True, Kinsta agreed. Sir, what do you have planned next?
Next? Can I please have one moment to enjoy our accomplishments?
Sir, I think that moment is past. Our leadership and the public and the entire galaxy are waiting to see what you do after the triumph at Funandeng.
Shit, Scarandum groaned.
This is your own fault, sir. You have set an impossibly high standard for yourself.
Kinsta, I am going to drink this entire bottle right now.
You had better wait on that. My contact at headquarters told me there will be an unofficial meeting this afternoon to discuss your future. They are promoting you to Admiral.
Oh. Scarandum gulped the contents of the glass. In that case, I am going to drink two bottles.
Dave stared up at the fireball, transfixed, his feet unable to move. The smoking orange ball of fire coming at him was a falling starship, or part of a starship. He didn't know if it was a UN ship or Theranin. Something in the back of his mind told him it didn't matter whether he died by enemy or friendly fire, but getting squashed by a human ship just seemed unfair. Chunks broke off the fireball in slow motion, cartwheeling across the sky to form their own meteors. As he stared for what was probably no more than a very long second, an icon in his helmet visor warned him the oncoming object would strike his position in less than 2 minutes.
Run!
He shouted over the platoon channel and took a step forward when someone grabbed his left arm, spinning him to a halt.
Hey, what?
Jaitz released his grip.
Negative, the alien ordered. Chaika, look at the size of the impact zone. Running won't make any difference.
The visor was only showing range to the falling ship and time to impact. Eye clicking on another icon, he opened a new display.
Holy shit.
Jaitz was right. Even in powered armor, they couldn't run far enough to make any difference. The probable impact site was 7 kilometers to the south, but the predicted zone of devastation covered more than 20 clicks in the shortest direction. Discarding weapons and shedding backpacks, putting the suits into semi-automatic flight mode. No. The landing zone was a meadow, tall grasses and shrubs matted down by the dropships, but all around them was dense forest. It was a good choice for a remote LZ and staging area with a series of low hills between the Legion troops and the nearest Kristang warrior caste base, providing concealment without the need for heavy stealth generators. It was a bad place to attempt to cover ground quickly. Even on semi-automatic, the mech suits couldn't maintain useful speed through the tangled undergrowth.
Shit,
he groaned. Another, even larger chunk of falling starship was becoming visible behind and slightly above the first. His suit sensors were calculating a trajectory for him. It didn't need to. The entire area was going to get flattened by several thousand tons of debris impacting at hypersonic speed.
Chaika, I am sorry,
Jade said over the private channel, almost too quietly to be heard.
Hey, don't worry about it. I volunteered to come here. It's not your fault.
I meant, Jaitz raised his voice a bit. I am sorry that your ugly face is one of the last things I will see in this life.
Yeah, well, your face won't win any prize for...
Chaika! A woman's voice called through a burst of static. Chaika! You there?